one of my brother friends down there, Brother Pat Calmez, is the one that texted me and mentioned it to me. He texts, like Brother Jim texts messages on a regular basis. He does that every morning. His is in a group text when he does it, and so it's not just an individual text. And so he sends those out on a daily basis. And he shared one the other morning where he said, "Am I saved?" And it wasn't a question then, "Is he saved?" But it was a question, "Am I saved?" So I shot a word back real quick and shared a little personal testimony. And 15 minutes later, somebody in the group said, "Can you take me out of this group? I don't know who put me in it. I've been in it for a while, but I'm ready to get out." He didn't like what I said, is what it was. Yeah. I was just talking about being bought by the blood.
Come on.
Man, Jesus bought me. Been bought and purchased by the blood. I said, "He bought me and sought me and caught me." Amen.
Amen.
But he didn't. I don't think he was too pleased with it. But he got a message, though, and prayerfully,
that's right.
Yes, no doubt about it. Well, good to see y'all. Missed y'all this morning. It's always a treat to be able to go and do and share with the folks there and wherever we get to go. But they kind of like, almost like family. We've been with them so many times over the last 14 years or so. I can't remember how many times we've been with them. It's been actually nearly 6 years has been the last time. It's crazy how time goes by. And I think it was the spring or summer of 2017, if I'm not mistaken. And the current pastor there, Brother Nick Ulmer, was pastor at Stonewall with Brother Lebo and Jennifer, Amy's sister, and them and family, the Martins down there. And Nick was down there for a period of time, and he was there when I went and preached the revival at Stonewall. And that was actually in 2015, so that would have been summer, fall time, so that would be pushing 8 years. Crazy. Yeah, so it was good. I hear they had a big day at Northcrest today. Northcrest is where we was called out of, and even apologized, the pastor did. He said, "Man, if I'd have realized that was happening today, I would have worked around it." Not to say that we could have gone or been part of it. Not to say there could have been a great possibility we could have went and celebrated with them today. But they had a big celebration choir from all people that was in the choir from years ago. And Brother Danny Lanier's last day was the day. So they was having a big... At Northcrest, yeah. He's retired. Yeah, he's retired. And this Sunday was his last Sunday with them. And they were having a big day for him, a big fellowship to follow and all that. And they had invited all previous choir members through the years to come back. So they had it flooded out with a lot of people. I'd imagine it was a big day. But Brother Nick, when I walked in, that's what he said. "Man, my wife reminded me of that. And I apologize." I said, "Well, there ain't nothing we could do about it. We'll be with them in spirit, but this is what we get to do. So we're with y'all today." But it was all good. We had a good time. Stephanie got saved. That's where I was at. Brother Danny preaching a revival in May of 2007. May of 2007. Of course, that's where the Lord did a work in both of us. I was not too far down the road from that with Brother Malcolm on a Sunday morning sharing the word. And that's when the Lord really done a work in me. And I went down and we joined the church and shared with him that, you know, I gave my all to Jesus. And though I'd been baptized, I shared that with y'all before and did what you were supposed to do technically. But it was that day that the Lord began to transform and change me. From there, make me a new creature in Christ that I could see resemblance of what we're reading through the book of Acts right now and very similar. And all good. Of course, that's where we surrendered. They loved on us, helped us, opened up doors for us. That's how I got to preach, and all my first few times getting to preach was all through their oversight and guidance. And we can't help but praise God for that. Amen. All right. Anything. Anybody want to testify to anything before we jump in the truth or share anything specifically? Is there something in the Word? Something in your Sunday school? Something in the message this morning? Something from your time walking with Jesus in the last several days? It don't have to be an axe. We can go anywhere. If we don't have a solution tonight, we'll try to find it one way or another. But we'll talk about it. I don't shy away from people asking questions and people wanting to talk about this or that. We always want to be ready. Amen?
Amen.
Always want to be ready. Make a beeline to Jesus and stand on the Word of God. So anything in your time. We're up to what, chapter 15?
Yes.
Have y'all been gleaning some good stuff?
Amen.
I know you've been in it. You don't want to get to where it's just a routine thing as you read through it. These are really, really, really significantly will help you examine your life, your journey, where you are. Are we doing? Am I doing? Is there things in our lives that are resembling this? Because this is what revival is. This will take you back to the standard of what God was doing with His people and what He's going to keep doing in His people's lives. Of course, times are different. Things are different. But God is not different. He is unchanging.
Amen.
His ways are unchanging. His message is unchanging. His truth is unchanging. And the work of the Spirit is unchanging. What He did then is what He's doing now. And man, these things help us discern, Brother Shannon, on what is what, who is what are people doing and why are they doing it. We just sang that song, The Words of Life, all the wonderful words of life. For Peter said, where do we go? You have the words of life. And it's important for us to recognize, because we live in a day where it's acceptable, and I'm sure it was in that day as well, just because you're dealing with human nature, it was acceptable to just add Jesus to your life.
Yeah.
Add Him to your life. You've got your life. Well, I'm just going to add Him into my repertoire of everyday living. You got to keep in mind that's part of one of the four soils. That's the soil that lands among the thorns, and the cares of this life eventually going to choke it out.
Yeah.
And people can go for a while. They can go for a period of time adding Jesus to their life where He's a part of their life. Matter of fact, He can be a significant part of your life, and you still be wrong, the point I'm making, because He's not to be part of our life. He is our life.
Amen.
He is our life. That's why we sang just that word, the wonderful words of life. That's when I shared with the folks this morning out of Acts 5:20, which we've talked about in times past, where He simply told them, go, stand, and speak to the people in the temple all the words of this life. He uses that phrase. The words of this life. It's 16 words in the English and 15 in Greek. Look at it. Look at it if you would. Let's look at it one more time. Because I think it's one of the most significant parts of all the Scriptures, because it's very similar to what I will be doing tonight, what you may be doing tomorrow, what we get to do together. But in Acts 5:20, look at that. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. The King James says it just a touch different. It says go. What does it say? Go.
Stand.
Go stand.
And speak.
In the temple. To the people. All the words of this life.
Yeah.
So the New King James says go stand in the temple and speak to the people. But the old King James says go stand and speak in the temple to the people. Exact same thing. Saying the same thing. 16 words in the English language and 15 words in the Greek. That's what it is. 15 very important words. There's another passage I'll point out to you maybe tonight before we leave. That's just 15 words that sums up the entirety of the gospel in those 15 simple but yet eternal, extraordinary words. Go. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. It is the words of life, but it's the words of this life. And the word words there is a Greek word, rhema, which has the idea of the sayings that undergird the utterances of this life, the language of this life. This life that we live has a language that it speaks, a language that it shares, a way that it gives away, a life that it gives away. But the point I was making out with, one of the points I made with him this morning is, the context of this is that the leaders took all the apostles, all 12 of them, and put them in prison. Why did they do that? Well, they were doing everything they could to silence them. They were trying to shut them up. They were trying to cut them off. They were trying to threaten them and put them in a compromised position where they would see that there was a more long-term consequences to standing on these truths that you are proclaiming, because you got to keep in mind, Jesus was their life. He wasn't part of their life. This was their life. He is their life. They were utterly consumed with Him and being His witnesses. This was what consumed their life. Well, they didn't value it and appreciate it, and you see that in verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, who is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled, overflowing, controlled by what? Indignation. That is, their indignation, their anger, and their wrath moved them to do what they were doing. It controlled them. Anytime you see the word filled, in the positive or negative, it means to be influenced by. Their indignation is what was influencing them. Now, the apostles, on the other hand, was filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom and faith, and that's what influenced them. They overflowed with that. Verse 18, and they laid their hands on the apostles, and they put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Now, here's the thing. What is an angel? An angel is, number one, a servant of God. Number two, that means they're a minister that ministers the will of God. Number three, they are a messenger from God. Now, tonight, this morning, as a servant of the Lord, as a minister of the Lord, as a messenger of the Lord, this angel came, just like I've come tonight, to tell you it doesn't matter what the world says, it doesn't matter what the high courts say, the highest of courts, the judge of heaven and earth, has a message for you.
Amen.
And that message is, He has not found you guilty. And that message is, He wants you to go tell everybody of why you've not been found guilty.
Amen.
And that is, somebody took your place. Somebody stood in your place. And therefore, He sends them out as a messenger, that those that tried to silence them, tried to stop them, tried to cut them off, tried to discredit them, try to create an atmosphere that would create a society that was against them, no different than the day, our society, what do? They try to silence us. They say our Bible's not relevant. Our preaching Jesus is for days gone by. Gathering together as a flock, as a group of people, is not essential. You don't have to do that. You don't have to belong to the bride of Christ. You don't have to be part of a church. You don't have to be under the teaching of the work of the Holy Spirit and the life of the kingdom of the church. They tell us that God didn't create this world that we live in. Are you with me? They want to silence you and put you in a corner on that. And they want to tell you how marriage ought to be. And they want to tell you who can be married and who can't be married. And they want to tell you all these things. And everything they tell you is questioning, number one, the essence of who God is, the exactness of what God has said, and the enjoyment of what God finds pleasure in, they make it all a mockery.
Yeah.
But you see, I come as a messenger tonight.
Amen. Come on.
To say the King has opened the door. And he said, go.
Yeah.
Go. Go where the people are.
Amen.
And go tell them all the words of this life. Amen. See, you're a messenger.
Yeah.
No different than this angel, a flaming spirit who's been sent with a word from God. That when this old world tells you you can't trust this word here, there's no reason you need to trust Jesus. There's many ways to get to heaven. There's all kind of ways where you know what? All they're trying to do is what? Stifle us. They're trying to put us behind bars. They're trying to silence us, to throw our hands up and say it's useless. But I want to come as a messenger. And you get to go out from day to day as messengers to tell the folks that the High King, the Judge of all heaven and earth, Jesus, our Redeemer, who all authority has been given to Him in heaven and earth, He said, go.
Amen.
And He said, go with an urgency. Go in a unique way. And the people you're going to go to, they don't live this kind of life.
That's right.
These words aren't their life. They're hostile to this life. They don't know nothing about this life. Matter of fact, remember what He told them. They didn't know Me. And if they don't know Me, they're not going to know. If they don't receive My message, they're not going to receive Your message. That's, hey, the King said He opened up the prison doors and told him to what?
Go.
Go. Go. Go and proclaim all the words. And this is what they were consumed with. This was their life, Brother Shannon. So we want to take it in a practical way and look at it that, hey, this fits the bill with all of us. This is my message in life. That I'm a messenger, and God sends messengers to me. And He tells me every time somebody tries to stifle the value of our King and our kingdom and His kingdom message to us, hey, my King has opened that door up, amen.
Amen.
He's already judged it. He's already found us not guilty. Why? Because His grace is greater than all our sin, amen.
Amen.
And He's declared us innocent. He's declared us free. And He's opened the door and told us to go. Go. And you know, the idea of going is that we go in everything. Every day we go in. He just said, as you go, and as you go with people in mind, always go with this priority in your heart. That is to share the words of this life. Share them. There's words that explain the way we live. There's word explains who we trust. There's words that explain why we do what we do. And I want to eagerly seek those words out. You'll spend the rest of your life declaring the words of life.
Amen.
Amen. This ain't, you don't do it one time.
Come on.
You don't do it two times. This is who you become. Amen.
Amen.
And this was an open door invitation to keep going, to keep speaking, to keep standing firm. And hadn't you noticed when you've been reading through the book of Acts, and we keep seeing it again. I know I've emphasized this already and we've said it a million times, but it's simple, yet it's eternally significant. What do they keep doing? They keep opening their mouths.
Yeah.
We are people who proclaim a message.
Amen.
They keep opening their mouths everywhere they go. They open their mouth. They open their Bibles because when they open their mouth, they stand on what God has already said. They open the Bible and prove that this is what God said, and then they open their life up to scrutiny and ridicule and other people to follow them and what they're doing as they are trusting Jesus with all that they have. And we can't help but see that they just keep opening up their mouths to do it. It's a priority. We got a place to go, a purpose to do when we get there, speak. A people who we're going to, who don't know Him yet. We have a person, that is Jesus, that we're going to give away. He is this life, amen. He is this word. He is this. We have a prize. What is that prize? Life in Him. That's what we're going to give away. And there's a path, there's a way that He set up for us to go walk in it. I know I've shared a few little points on these where the Bible tells us that we're to step out, we're to speak up, we're to stand firm, and we're to show forth.
Amen.
What God is doing in our life each and every day. I mentioned, didn't I say 15 words in Greek? Let's go look. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. This would be the words you want to go speak. Again and again and again and again and again. Now, we know that even when this is our life, not just a part of our life, we're not inviting Him to come into our lives so that we can do our thing. No, this, He is our life. He is our life. He has the words of life. Well, we who have a history of missing the mark with God, and ain't a person in here don't have a history with sin. Are you with me? How many of y'all have a history with your thoughts that get off and get distracted and don't make this a priority in your life? How many of you have a history with trusting more in yourself than trusting in the Lord to carry you through? For whatever reason, it's the strangest thing in the world to me, but we do it, is that we put more confidence in how we think or feel about a situation than what God has already declared about a situation. As if we know better than He does. That's just a foolish thing to do, amen?
Yeah.
And we have a history with that. We have a history of saying things we wish we'd have never said. We have a history of doing things we should have never done. But you see, if you have a history of missing the mark, you gotta have a history of repentance with the Lord.
Amen.
You gotta have it. It's gotta be part of who you are. And that's what the believer does. We see that with David. What does it say? David was a man after God's own heart who did all the will of God. But we know the things David did, right? But you see, as bad as the things that he did in sinning and transgression and iniquity that was in him, David had a history of repentance with God. And therefore that marked the man as a disciple of God himself. He trusted him. But 2 Corinthians 5, look in verse number 21. I think these are the greatest 15 words ever spoken to man. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we, who only knew sin, might become the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
That's the gospel. That's the message of the cross. That's the message of the Bible. That's the message of Jesus. That's the words of this life right there. Now, we want to know the details that surround every word of this. For God made God, because that's who God was. He is Jesus, amen? So let's just read it that way. For God made God, and we know who this God is. He's Jesus, who knew no sin. He was without sin. He was blameless. He was holy. He was without fault. He never missed the mark at all. But what God did was place my life upon His life. And when I trust Him and His atoning work, when I trust what God done with Him for me on my behalf and what the Son did in laying His life down for the Father, my life gets transferred to Him. And therefore, His righteous life, His sinless, blameless, holy life is then transferred unto me where He took my sin on my behalf.
Amen.
Brother Shannon, that's the gospel. That right there is the living word eternal of the substitutionary sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. And that right there tells me that I'm, because of that trust in Him, because He is my life, not a part of my life, but this life. If God gave Him His life for my life, He requires my life for His life.
Amen.
He becomes my life. And when I trust Him and surrender that trust unto Him, it's not that I'm adding Him. No, He took my life for this to happen. And He grants me His life for it to happen. So He is my life. And therefore, that's the only way God can see me as righteous is because He is my life. And as a result, He don't see me as sin. He doesn't see me as being filled with iniquity. He doesn't see me being the transgressor that missed the mark in rebellion and fighting in enmity against Him. He sees the life of His perfect, righteous, without sin Son on my behalf. That's the great transfer that takes place. Declared innocent. Not guilty. Done. That's who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, what I am in Him, now I want to live that out. I want to walk in that life. And that's where you go share this life. That's where we go. That's what we see in Acts. That's what they share in, Brother Shannon. Is that this was not the workings of the law. Isn't that what we see in Acts 15? People said, hey, you need to, if you're going to be part of the kingdom, you got to be circumcised. You got to keep the law of Moses. Well, what did that create? A dispute. So what did they do? Well, we need to go back to Jerusalem and go get this figured out. And they go get this figured out and talk about it. And Peter says, wait a minute, brother, and y'all know, God chose me. And God chose Cornelius. And God granted him life like He granted us life. And God acknowledged his heart by giving him the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't because he was keeping the law, and it wasn't because we kept the law. We couldn't keep it. God saved that man, and he saved us by his grace. Amen. There was somebody that stood in our place. And that was the gracious, righteous gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we go proclaim those 16 English words to go stand, speak to the people in the temple, all the words of this life, this is what we're going to tell them. That a king came to this earth and he was without sin, and God poured out his wrath and judgment upon him that I deserve. And then he granted me his love and favor that he had for his son. He then poured it on me.
Come on.
Man. Glory be. Amen.
Amen.
And this secure, this, and because it was an eternal work that he did, this is an everlasting work.
Yeah.
You can't, that's why Romans tells us you can't separate us. Nothing can separate us from this. When you in, you belong to Him, you've trusted Him, He is your life. There's nothing, no enemy, no scheme, no flesh, no nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Why? Because His life was perfect. And that is what's transferred to us. Amen? His life was perfect. Go look in Romans real quick. Just say, man, I'm forgiven. Amen? I'm free. I'm free. I've been redeemed and reconciled. This is good stuff. Amen. Romans 8. Look what he says. In verse number 36, as it is written. Well, let's just read verse number. Well, it's almost like reading the whole Bible, amen?
Come on.
Yeah, let me see one of those, Stephanie. My old voice held up real good this morning, didn't it? He says, well, I'm just going to read verse 28. I was going to start down about verse 37, but I'd cheat y'all if I didn't read this to you, amen? And we know that all things work what? Together for good to those who love God. Now, you can't love God without being born of God.
Amen.
Okay? You have to be born again to love God. We love Him because He first what?
Loved us.
So we're talking about the believer that his life's been transferred and that this can only be a believer disciple to those who are the called according to His purpose. Remember, it's His life. He is our life. It's not our purpose. It's what? His purpose. Who are called to His purpose. These God foreknew, and though He foreknew them, even that He knew them, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And He's our brother.
Amen.
Because why? He took upon flesh to live a perfect life, a righteous life, so that His life could be dealt with on our behalf. It had to be that way. For God to be just and the justifier of men, God had to do it Himself. And that's what He did. Verse 30, "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also" what? "Glorified." Glorification means that God has completely, utterly glorified us in a future state. But see, He speaks of it as He's already done it. Because God speaks those things which are not as though they were. Because if you love Him and are called according to His purpose, it is because He knew you, He predestined you, He called you, He justified you, and as sure as He justified you in Christ, you will be glorified soon enough. It's a done deal. It ain't no question about it. Amen. In the counsel of God. We just believe that. Verse 31, "If that be in the case, what then shall we say to these things? If God is" what? "For us, who can be against us?" Hey, the angel come and said, God's for you. And He's got a purpose for you. They may judge you, but the high judge, the highest of judges, has set you free. Go. Amen?
Amen.
Go. Verse 32. "He who did not spare His own Son," and who's that?
God
sparing God, His own Son Jesus, "but delivered Jesus up for us all," that is, those that love Him and are called according to His purpose, those who've been justified, "how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" And remember, we've said before, God will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly with Him. But a good thing can often be what?
A hard thing.
And He's fixing to explain that for us. Verse 33, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" It is God who does what? That angel said, the door's open, go. See, we're messengers.
Yeah.
And we go tell the brother, go. God's opened the door for you, amen?
Amen.
Go, go. Don't worry about if they try to silence you and shut you up. Go, go. Verse 34, "Who is he who condemns us? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Not only did He trade His life for us, but now He prays for us from here on out. Amen. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Let's ask a couple questions. Shall tribulation do it? What's the answer? Shall distress do it? Shall persecution do it? Shall famine do it?
No.
Shall nakedness do it?
No.
Shall peril do it? Can a sword do it?
No.
"As it is written," these things that He just mentioned, these are all troublesome things. And wouldn't you agree? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and the sword. That's troublesome thing. That's the hard thing. But remember, no good thing will He withhold from His people. He says, "For God's sake, we, the sheep, are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the" what? Okay, so if you got to go through persecution, tribulation, if the sword does sever your neck, if you are go through famines and put in prison or whatever it is, the good thing that He gives us to make us more like Him, though it's a hard thing, verse 37, "yet in all these things we are more than conquerors." A conqueror just keeps conquering.
Amen.
More than conquerors through Him who what? Who loved us. Paul said, "For I am convinced, I am persuaded that neither death, neither life, neither angels, neither principalities, nor powers, nor things current, present, nor anything to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And all God's people say it?
Amen.
You know, that means you can't do it either. Aren't you a created being?
Come on.
Any other thing that this world has all been created. There's only one that's not been created, and that's God Himself. His self-existence. And ain't nothing that's been created able to separate us from His love, which is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because it's His life that has been granted to our life. He took our sin and our punishment for us. And wow, man, what a blessing, amen?
Amen?
To know that, to know that. You cannot separate yourself from the love of God. Number one, you wouldn't want to. Remember, those that love God and are called according to His purpose are those who have what? God foreknew is the ones He's called, it's the ones He's justified, and it's the ones He's glorified. God's done something in you, something for you to transform your life where you wouldn't want to be separated from Him. I mean, He's your life, amen?
Amen.
He's your life. He is your life. So that idea of helping people tomorrow, when we cross paths with people, that you can tell somehow or another something in their life, whether it be their own selves, their own mind, their own flesh, whatever it is. It may be a job. It may be our society. It may be somebody breathing down their neck, telling them that they need to be silent and they need to be quiet and that all this is not worth living for and not trusting. You just be the messenger of the Lord to tell them the highest of the highest, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, God Almighty Himself says He's opened the door.
Amen.
Go. 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 Stand and speak to the people in the temple. And the temple is a place where they put their confidence in. And you see, that's what God does. He brings us to people who put their confidence in things other than Him so that we can introduce them to Him. That's what sets people free. Amen.
Amen.
And every one of us are preaching. Every one of us are preaching a message one way or another. We're all preaching. And what we do when we preach this words of life, some of the aspects of preaching is, I was sharing with this group this morning, preaching, as you've been watching through and walking through the book of Acts, preaching is usually the means by which God has used to introduce Himself to people. That's what preaching does. God introducing Himself, His ways, who they are, things they are not aware of, things they didn't know of. That's what preaching does. That's what preaching the gospel does. God, it's the means by which God has chosen to introduce and bring a revelation unto man about Himself. And that preaching or that message is designed to stir and move the heart. And then you see them not only preaching and teaching, because if we kept reading Acts 5, where they went to the temple and did what He told them to do, there's two words that are mentioned that they did in the temple. And both of them says they taught and they were teaching. They found them, they taught the people, and then when they found them, what were they doing? They were teaching. Why? Because when they went to introduce in preaching who this God is, and then what teaching does is helps us get to where the preaching moved us. Tells us how to get there. That's where the wisdom of God is imparted in teaching.
Amen.
His preaching warns men. Stirs in men, introduces Himself to men, where teaching, on the other hand, imparts the instruction and the wisdom of God how to walk in what His Spirit just stirred in me to do, how to put it to play, how to walk it out. And that's why every element of preaching should have teaching in it, and every teaching ought to have an element of preaching. Because preaching warns and teaching imparts wisdom. One gives an introduction, one gives instruction. And we need to be doing both in everyday life, amen? Because we're communicating, declaring the words of this life.
Amen.
Who is our life? Jesus, amen?
Yes.
Amen. So, tonight, I've come as a messenger just to remind you, the King has opened the door for you.
Amen.
Go. Just do what He's told you, what He's leading you to do, amen?
Amen.
But you're going to have to open your mouth. It's inevitable. If you never open your mouth, people are going to look at you and just think you're a good person who does good things that are kind and helpful. You got to tell them why you do what you do. Amen.
Amen.
And then you got to open the Bible to point them to where, not necessarily you don't have to take your Bible and open it up. You hide that word in your heart and you explain the word of God to people of why you do what you do. And then just open your life to say, this is how this truth transformed me. And I believe it can transform you too. Not it, but the true giver is the one who's done it. And then he gave me his instructions on how to walk and live with him. Amen?
Amen.
So just God, let God use you. Tomorrow, you be that angel, that messenger that helps somebody else be free. Amen? Because there's a lot of people out there that are locked up behind invisible bars. That's what it is. It's just they put themselves in a box. And the world we live in has done everything to silence them.
Yeah.
Tell them to quit talking about this. Will you encourage them? Hey, Jesus is the one who has authority in heaven and on earth. And he tells you to go. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We praise you. Ask you to help us with this. Teach us these things. Strengthen us from day to day. And we're going to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you know, just a little note to add to that. Oftentimes, when it comes to introducing people to things through the means of preaching, a lot of times preaching also does that when it brings us back to memory of things that we've set aside and forgot. It's like introducing us again to it. And that's that great element of what preaching does, to stir our heart and then help teach people how to get to where God has stirred our heart to. Amen?